What is up, everybody? This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thank you so much for tuning in. Truly appreciate it. This episode is with Toby and Nate from Second Self. These guys are awesome. We played a couple shows with them. We played with them in January of this year. It's 2025. We played with them in Nashville at Dark Matter with our good friends The Catastrophes and Graveyard Kids. That was earlier this year in January. We've actually played Nashville. This is coming up on our fifth time. So we love playing in Nashville and love the punk scene there. So that was the first time that we met them. And then literally just a few weeks later, we played with them at Sanford Punk Fest in Sanford, Florida, which is like just right outside of Orlando. Awesome fest that is put on by our friends in Dial Drive. And so, yeah, that was a really, really fun fest. We were playing we played right after them. So I got to catch like maybe two or three songs on their stage. But really awesome guys. Really enjoy hanging out with them. And we are actually playing with them this weekend, October 5th, 2025. It's a Sunday. Coming up here just a few days away. So that is going to be at the Cobra in Nashville. And that is going to be with Marins, Toby's other band, Marins, and also good friends of ours. And then the Catastrophes, it's going to be their album release show. So yeah, this is kind of like a little, with all the people that we've had on this show, Second Self, The Catastrophes, as well as Matt Drastic, who plays in Less Than Jake, but also runs a studio in Nashville. So he recorded The Catastrophes' full-length album that we'll be celebrating on October 5th, and he also recorded Second Self's album that has been out for a little while now. It's been out since May. It's called The Current Descent. So really cool, like a little web of connections here that of people who have been on the show, that it'll all be converging on October 5th at the Cobra in Nashville. We're really excited about it. So make sure to come out if you can. If you're in the Nashville area and you're listening to this, please come out to that show. October 5th, 7 or 8 p.m. Shows happen a little bit later in Nashville. But yeah, please come out. We'd love to see you guys. We're going to be on tour. We're actually playing a string of shows. So we are in Little Rock at Vino's on October 2nd, which is actually the day this is coming out. So if you're listening to this early, come out to Vino's. And then on October 3rd, we are in Jonesboro at Something Art Cafe with The Storyline and Fight Back Mountain. And on October 4th, we're at Haven House in Memphis. So if you are in any of those areas, please take a look at Wes Hoffman and Friends, our Instagram. It's just at Wesley Hoffman. And please come out to any of those shows. So thank you guys so much for listening. Really appreciate it. If you like this podcast, please give us a follow or a rating on your podcast app of choice. That just helps us out. Gets us a little bit more visibility, gets more people listening. We truly appreciate it. So enjoy this episode with Toby and Nate from Second Self, and we will see you out there. So I've got Nate from Second Self. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you? Good.
I'm doing well. And Toby is due to join us here in just a little bit as well. So hopefully the traffic's not too bad.
Yeah, he'll come rolling in here, probably covered in work dust and everything else. But
yeah, man. Well, thanks for joining me, dude. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. We've played with you guys a couple times now. One time in Nashville and one time in Florida, of all places.
Stanford.
That was a good time. Tell me, how long? Second Self hasn't been around for a super long time, right?
Actually, we've been around for quite a while. Just going into the pandemic, I think it was late 2019.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because I was just looking at your releases and the first one was like 2020. So, but yes, but I've kind of gathered you and Toby both have been like a part of the Nashville scene for quite a while, right?
We have, yeah. It, you know, the punk scene in Nashville, I always say, you know, we're few, but we're mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, everyone looks at Nashville and they think like, oh my God, Music City, you know, there's going to be so much music. And, you know, of course, you associate it with country music and Americana, right?
Right, right.
But it is, you know, Music City, USA, you expect there to be lots. And over the past few years, that is ringing more and more true as this becomes more and more of a melting pot and people continue to just pour into this town, right? There's not a whole lot of punk rock.
Right, right.
There's just not a whole lot of punk. So, you know, we've got a group of about, you know, 10, 15 dudes that are representing for the most part. I mean, there's probably a few more than that, but there's a couple of few bands. So Toby and I met way before this melting pot started accumulating. We met, we both moved to town. Like, it was really ironic because we're both from Michigan.
Okay.
West Michigan. And we didn't know each other at the time, but he lived half hour from where I went to college.
Oh, that's crazy.
In Michigan. He lived in Battle Creek. And by our own means, we wound up coming to Nashville like within the same month back in 2008. So it was really ironic timing. And then it was a couple of years later. It was probably 2010, maybe, that he had his band Bowling Green. And I had my band at the time called The Simpletons, and we wound up playing this little DIY, the most dumpy little place. It was like a back closet. It was like the back room of a laundromat that we wound up playing. It was a fun show. And that's where we connected for the first time. And then we continued to just do our thing over the years until finally, you know, worlds collided and we congealed with this band. We had a different bassist that was playing, and he wound up leaving, and we needed somebody, and, you know, Toby, what are you up to? You want to come over? And the rest is history.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool, man. No, I love how there's, like, you guys were somehow, like, connected, you know, even before you moved to Nashville, whether you knew it or not. Like, you know, it's almost, I love stories like that, because it's very, like,
serendipitous for sure. It's a pretty unique coincidence that we both came from right down the road from each other and then migrated halfway across the country and then ran into each other here, you know, through music.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you one of the founding members of Second Self?
I am.
Okay, cool. So tell me a little bit about, like, I know you got the Pennywise hat on. I hear a little bit of like Bad Religion in your stuff, but I like the technical, and you know, Bad Religion is, they've got some shreddy guitar parts too. Like, you know, like Brian Baker's, I love a good Brian Baker solo. But tell me a little bit about kind of like your idea going into this band. Like, you know, did you have a sound that you were looking for when you, you know, started this up?
Yeah, so this band kind of spurred off. I was in two bands when we started. Well, I was in a different band, and then this became the second band. It was because we had a couple of other friends who wanted to play, and everybody couldn't be in the one band, so we started another thing.
Oh, that's cool.
With, you know, not taking it too seriously, as probably not many of our bands are, you know, just having fun. But we wound up goofing around, and I was in a band called Lonesome Town Drifters with Eric Orozco. I don't know if you've met Eric before. He runs a cool podcast as well. But I was in a band called Lonesome Town Drifters, but then a couple of other buddies wanted to play guitar with us as well, and we started kicking around Second Self. And Second Self was, we were all cut from a very similar cloth as far as our musical interests. Mostly just 90s skate punk, you know. Fat Wreck and Epitaph, yeah. Bands, Pennywise, Bad Religion, No Effects, you know, No Use Her Name, and the list goes on.
Strung Out, Face to Face, yeah.
For sure, absolutely, all those bands. So that was kind of the common thread between myself, a dude named Adam Rittmaster, who's a guy that I grew up with that I wanted to play guitar, our buddy Sean, And then our drummer, who's our current drummer, Matt. Here's Toby.
Toby.
What up?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Good, man.
Good, good. Thanks for joining in.
Hey, a little late, but we're still here.
No worries, man.
I'll just give the backstory on how we're both from West Michigan, and we wound up ironically living like, you know, a half hour from each other for a while up north, and then meeting each other, moving halfway across the country, you know? And then Wes was asking, you know, musical influences, and I was explaining how this band was kind of a spur off from LTD, and mostly just copycatting these bands that we loved, you know, these 90s punk bands. There's also a little bit of flavor. I grew up being kind of a Metallica fan, and some of that metal. So Metallica, he loves Megadeth. So that's where some of the other, I guess, a little bit more technical stuff comes from, you know, I think it's just our childhood growing up listening to that stuff and loving it. And
yeah.
My dog's name is Hammett. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about, like, okay, I love the technical stuff too. I love Strung Out. I love Wilhelm Scream. But I'm getting to be a better guitar player. Like, I'm taking lessons again. I grew up in a super religious family, and they would never let me listen to like Megadeth or Metallica or anything like that, which I kind of wish I did, because maybe I would have learned some of that stuff and like been better sooner. But you know, now I'm learning like just different, like how to get out of my boxes. You know what I mean? Like you sit down with the guitar and you're like, okay, this is the scale that I know goes with this key, and I know that I can play these riffs and these patterns. So then I told my guitar teacher, I'm like, teach me how to do stuff that doesn't sound like me, you know, that I but I want to ask you guys, like, what were some of the things that got you to, how did you learn how to play some of that stuff? Because some of your stuff, some of your riffs, and Toby, there's one song that you guys play at the very end of your set, the couple times that I've seen you, that like you just rip on the bass. You know, like what are some of the ways that you guys learned how to play at that level?
Well, I know my answer, but do you want to answer that?
I mean, yeah, just trying to follow that sound, you know, just trying. That's what those guys are doing, so that's what I got to do. So you just practice it until you got it down.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what the secret sauce is. You know, back when you're 12, 13, 14 years old and you're picking up your guitar for the first time, you got to be a freaking nerd. Because if you're not a nerd, you don't have time to sit in your basement, your parents' basement, for 3-4 hours a night every single freaking night trying to pick apart that guitar solo and learn that pentatonic scale.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of requisite to being any type of musician, is you've got to have the lacking social life to offer you the time to learn these instruments, you know, learn how to play.
Dude, I have heard so many people say, you guys know the band 4 Years Strong?
Yeah.
Like, they said the exact same thing. They were like, dude, we're just big nerds that, like, we didn't have friends growing up, so, like, we just learned every Lamb of God song and every weird jazz riff, like, you know what I mean? They just learned everything, and I'm like, well, I mean, I did as well. I grew up on a farm, so, like, you know, I definitely spent a lot of time with my guitar, but I'm definitely going back now and, like, you know, trying to hammer, just trying to get out of my boxes, you know what I mean, and trying to get, like, my precision down a little bit. So, yeah, what were you going to say, Toby?
I was going to say, too, another good key thing is just finding people that are better than you to play along with them. That helps a lot,
for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Dude, that's what I love about the guy I'm taking lessons from. He's actually like 10 or 11 years younger than me, but super, super good guitar player. And like, it's actually kind of just nice to have, like, just sit down with him and have him play. And I'll be like, okay, what are you doing there? How did you do that? How did you make that sound? Because in my band, it's a little bit different. It's like, I write everything, I record most of the stuff. So like, it's not as much of a group effort as other bands are, you know what I mean? So I don't always get that input from another guitar player. So that's been really, really helpful for sure. It's just like somebody that's, and he has like a different style. He almost plays this kind of like jazz fusion pop stuff. Like, he can play metal too, but like, I feel like a lot of guitar players move to jazz, like the really, really nerdy ones, because it's like super hard and just, you know, really weird. Like, you listening to it, you wouldn't think that it's that hard, but it is very difficult and technical. For sure. For sure. So, well, tell me a little bit about this, your album, The Current Descent. I've got a copy of it on vinyl. I love it. It's great. It's like when I really just want that, like, skate punk, you know, with attitude type sound, I throw you guys on. Like, you know, I know you guys worked with Punkerton. I'd love to hear a little bit. Did you record it with Matt Drastic?
We did.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, well, what was that experience like?
So the recording process, we've done a number of things with Drastic. We've known him for a few years now, you know, so we've recorded a few different things with him. This one was a little bit disjointed, actually, because we did the record in kind of parts, because Drastic, being the drummer for Less Than Jake, travels a lot, you know.
Right, right.
So we wanted to get the record going, and the old guitarist that used to play for our band, we used to be a four-piece, he had another guy that he wanted to work with that he had met, and Drastic was gone. So we went and, I don't know, laid down maybe five songs in the other studio. And then Drastic, his, you know, schedule freed up, and we took the other batch and we brought him over to his studio. And he was tasked with the job of making them sound, you know, similar. So
oh, wow.
If you're really close to it, you can hear it, you know. I think he did a great job of kind of stitching them together and making it sound uniform. But there are definitely some differences from one song to the next as far as, you know, the listening experience goes. But as far as working with Drastic, man, he's freaking great. He's just the coolest, nicest dude.
He is, yeah.
And, you know, watching him do his thing in the studio is pretty fun, too, because he knows his shit. So it's fun to watch him just work the magic, you know, as far as recording process. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Plus he's got all the cool equipment too. You go over there, it's just like he's a guitar nerd. He's got like the coolest guitars and amps and shit you can just play through.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. He's been on the podcast. He was on the podcast earlier this year. And when Less Than Jake came through town a couple months ago, he was like, "Hey man, come out to the show." And I figured he's like, "I'll put you on the guest list." And I figured I'd just like walk in and say, "Hey Matt, how's it going?" You know, give him a hug or whatever. And then like, I'd go off and do whatever. And he was like, "No man, come backstage, hang out." Like, and I hung out with him the whole night. I was like, I did not expect that at all. But, no,
that's awesome. Yeah. We don't get that kind of treatment. Cause here in Nashville is becoming like LA, you know, like everybody and their brother was at their show. They played the last one on their summer tour was the last stop was here in Nashville. Yeah. I didn't even see him. Like, I saw him from across the room, you know. Oh, there he goes, and that was it, you know.
That's awesome.
You got the VIP treatment. That's cool.
Dude, it was sick. It was – I did not expect it at all, but I was, like, I was having a blast. So, so did you guys – when you record, you know, how did you – did you guys do, like – how we've done it in the past is, like, I'll stand in there in the live room with our drummer, and he'll play along. Did you guys do it that way, or did you like scratch tracks or?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how we've done it with him.
Okay.
It'll be me and our drummer in the drum room, and you know, I'll be there as guidance, you know, but
sure.
We're just playing to a click and we're trying to lay down a good drum track and then build off from that drum track by track afterwards. So, that's pretty much how we've done it for, I think, pretty much every.
Pretty standard.
Every song.
Yeah, I like doing it that way. I know that, like, I've heard some bands doing it, like, they'll do drums last, where, like, they'll record everything. They'll record, like, a scratch drum track, you know, or, like, to a click, and then they'll go back, and at the end, they'll do drums, because adding everything, like, because there's little accents with guitar and stuff like that, they're like, oh, maybe the drummer will, you know, try to accent this part or some vocal part or something like that. But I don't know, man, I'm kind of old school and I like just going in with the drummer and playing with him and, like, you know, being there for guidance. And I feel like that almost gives it a little bit more of a live feel to me instead of this like super structured like thing, you know what I mean?
Robotic almost. Yeah
exactly. So tell What about like when you guys sit down and write? Do you? I know Toby, you're in Marin's as well. Are you guys both songwriters? Do you both bring stuff to the table, or is it like one of you guys is the main person and you kind of just go with that?
Yeah, we'll pretty much like we'll come to practice like with an idea or like maybe like a well-structured idea, and then we'll just build off of that like as a group pretty much. You know, Matt has a lot of cool things. He's like, oh, we should do this in this part. Or, you know, I think I should do a little thing here. And he goes off and does, oh, yeah, let's scream this part or something like that. You know, it's just kind of like a group project. You know, somebody comes there with like an idea and we just build off of it.
It's usually how it goes. Yeah. I've yet to formulate my really polished answer to that question because it seems like it's just, we don't have a formula. You know, it's just bring a riff, bring an idea, and then just kick it around a little bit. You know,
there's been times he'll come with a whole song. Like, this is how it's played. You know, so.
Yeah, that works too.
Well, the collaboration process is the fun part because we all have, you know, we're all viewing through a different lens. I've always found that the drummer is definitely viewing it through a different lens, you know, being the drummer. So they're always offering like these cool, you know, insights as far as like, well hold on, why don't we do a hard rest right here and let the bass guitar flow and then come back in, or, you know, things like that where they're seeing things a little bit differently. Which is cool, you know. The funny thing about the one thing that I can say for sure, almost every single time, is that the songwriting process is interesting because you start with a concept here, and when you get to the end, it's something very different from what you started.
Right.
You know, and that almost always is the case. You know.
Yeah, and I love that. I love like seeing it take shape. You know what I mean? I would say. You know, my band is similar in the, with the drummer in the way our drummer has, because I'll demo stuff out on GarageBand, and I'll be kind of like I feel like I'm limited with what I can do on GarageBand. I'm not a drummer.
We've done the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll be like, I'll kind of just be like, okay, it just has this beat here, but he will take like, he'll change it and he'll be like, oh well, you know, he will kind of accent some of the things I'm doing with my rhythm or with a lead part to kind of just make it sound a little bit better. And it's always, I don't know, the drums just always make the song sound so much better.
Well, in the same way, you know, not being a drummer, you intentionally don't want to add much to it. Just do just baseline, lay a beat to keep the song rolling along. Let the drummer come up with all the creative stuff for the drums because, well, they're probably gonna do a better job. And that brings it back to like the tracking process too. The fun thing about working with Matt, who's happens to be at work right now because he's a farmer and it's harvest season, so he's working like 16-hour days.
Crazy hours, yeah.
7 days right now. But like, he's a kick-ass drummer. He's super good.
He's a great drummer.
When we go over to Drastics and we do that thing where I'm in the drum room and I'm kind of playing just the live kind of scratch over, you know, the song, trying to lay the foundation with the drums, it's usually one or two takes for most of the songs. Like, he just blasts through it. And he's doing stuff that we've never heard him do in rehearsal before, too. He brings it every single time. It's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
What's crazy is the last time we did it, and we were playing to a click track, and, you know, there was this one song we were having trouble staying on beat, and I was like, just double the click. And so I turned it to, 16th notes or something, and it's already at, 190 BPM. So it's just, and going there just, spot on. I'm like, I don't know how the fuck you just did that.
Yeah, it worked. That was fun to watch.
That's awesome. Sorry, I had to let my dog out. Like, it happens at least once an episode. I have to let him out or let him in. So if I get up, I'm literally just going like two steps away. So,
okay.
So yeah, you kind of talked about this earlier on in the conversation, Nate, like about the Nashville punk scene, and we've played in Nashville. We're actually playing with you guys in a couple of weeks. Yeah, which I'm really excited about. Because last time we played Cobra, I didn't realize that they were pouring the drinks like doubles. It was like for the band, the deal was like doubles instead of singles, and I didn't realize they were doing that. And by the time we played, I was like, I was in rare form. So
That's pretty usual in Nashville. That's called being warmed up.
Right. So I'm wanting a do-over. It was at Cobra. That time was at Cobra. So I'm excited to go back to Cobra and play with you guys. But
We'll buy you a couple shots before you play.
maybe one before and one after. But do you feel like the scene is the punk scene there is getting a little bit more, you know, do you feel like it's starting to grow a little bit with all these people? Nashville definitely feels like a hub that people are kind of swarming to.
Absolutely. I mean, our little scene, you know, with these bands that are just, you know, kind of smaller bands, it's still very small, it's quaint, but it is growing. I think the one measurable change that we've seen is Nashville was the freaking black hole for punk, for touring bands coming through for a lot of years. You know, Toby and I had, you know, early on just met, and really up until maybe the past five or so years, bands, it seemed like they'd steer away from Nashville because there just wasn't the palette for it. There wasn't the market for it, right? Now we're seeing all the big bands. I mean, Bouncing Souls is here Wednesday. We're going to go see Bouncing Souls.
Oh, hell yeah.
Long distance from my house, which is going to be super cool. And pretty much everybody comes here nowadays, and that's a distinct change from not long ago, right?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, that was not too long ago. I went to see, well, it was a couple years ago, but it was the Flatliners and Big D and the Kids Table at Muse, which is closed down since, but there was five people there.
Wow.
Which I thought was insane.
So Exit Inn is a historic venue, and
yeah.
I've seen face-to-face play there. I was literally embarrassed being a Nashville resident and having, you know, a band that I really thought very highly of and being like, this is the best we could do. You know, I've seen Strung Out, same deal. Like, shit, man, there's like 15, maybe 20 people in this whole venue for Strung Out. I literally had my arms on a monitor and Scott playing bass clicked my beer with the headstock of his bass because there was no one there, you know? So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Dude, it's crazy. It's, you know, it's been similar in St. Louis, especially with those bands like Face to Face, Strung Out, like the bands that we consider to be legendary. Like, we just got to play with Strung Out like a few months ago, and it was awesome. And, but prior to that, man, like, they want to skip St. Louis. Like, they don't want to come here. It's a really weird thing because it's like these bands are big on like a historic, like as being like really instrumental in bringing like skate punk to prominence. You know what I mean? And they're really well known on like a national and like a global level. But in some markets like Nashville, St. Louis, it's like there's literally just a handful. I think the amount of people that like those bands is, St. Louis is already a smaller market, and so the percentage of people that like that kind of music is even smaller, and the percentage of people that will come to the shows is even smaller than that. But finally, I've Strung Out, like, I think we had around 200 people at the show that they played here over the summer, which I was really happy about. Now, I busted my ass. I put flyers up everywhere. Like, I got them printed on my own dime. I was like, they're not having a bad show here. I'm going to make sure everybody comes to the show. So hopefully they want to come back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
it's a weird thing. It's like I've tried to figure that out. Like, I'm like, what is it that, you know, it's just weird. I don't know. I guess it's just the markets. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, why people don't want to come out for these bands that I love so much. You know what I mean?
These are the people in your neighborhood, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different places have different tastes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, it's crazy because, like, if you go out to California, you know, I'm sure they sell out all their shows. I mean, I know they're from there, but, like, that's just the scene is, like, that's where they originated and that's what people like out there. And I know that in, like, a lot of some of their East Coast shows, they sold out as well. And I'm like, man, they're selling out these, and those are even bigger venues. I'm like, they're selling out these bigger venues and they come to St. Louis and, like, you know, we're two thirds full. It's just, I'm not trying to hate on my own scene. I just wish it was better. You know what I mean?
No, man, I totally get it. I mean, we felt the same way here in Nashville. You know, we're finally starting to come to life here. But Nashville's gone through just such explosive growth, you know, that
we're growing up.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I love to see it, man. So I know you guys put your album out on Punkerton. I know Brandon. He's one of my good friends is in Modern Angst, and they're on Punkerton. So Brandon was at our show in their when they did their album release show here. He came out to our show when we played Columbus last year too. So he's a great dude. I'd love to hear like how you guys linked up with him.
Yeah,
through Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. So we did our release this year for this record out in Vegas. We kind of did a 1-2 punch for the release because it dropped while we were in Vegas, and then we did like a release show here in Nashville too because we had to in Nashville. But we've played twice now. This was our second time this year during Punk Rock Bowling Music Festival. There's a club show put on by Punk Rock Saves Lives, which is a nonprofit. I'm sure you're familiar with Punk Rock Saves Lives.
Yep.
Really great organization that, you know, provides a lot of good services to people. They put on a really cool, just weekend long club show where they just have bands stacked from early evening until the wee hours in the morning, you know, and he brings in some pretty legit bands. You know, the band that I was most excited about this year was Cigar, but tons of cool bands. It wasn't just them. There was lots of good bands. So we got to play that this year and drop our record at that show. It's put on at a really cool venue also called Hogs and Heifers, which is a Hogs and Heifers, Hogs being, you know, a Harley bar, and Heifers being basically a coyote bar. It's like a shotgun bar with, you know, the girls dancing on the bar and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like kind of one of those rowdy kind of bars, you know. But anyway, long story. Basically, this was our second time. We didn't play last year, but the year before we got to play, that was our first time playing, and that's where we met Brandon. And Brandon was helped coordinate this show. And after we played, he had seen our show, and we just kind of shot the shit with him, you know. And it turns out we realized he's running Punkerton Records, which I hadn't heard of at that point. But then we kind of kept our eye on each other. I didn't realize he was keeping his eye on us, but I was watching what Punkerton was doing, and they were slowly growing. And I kind of liked, you know, the vibe and the sentiment that I had seen up to that point, you know. So fast forward to finishing this record with Drastic, you know, recording and starting to think about, like, what do we want to do with this thing? And we hit Brandon up, said, hey, what do you think, man? And shot it over to him, and it was a really quick turnaround from there. He was just like, wow, this record, it's pretty good. Yeah, let's do this, you know?
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, boom, boom. So that was like January of 2025, January of this year.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, man, I love that story because I love, like, one of the things I talk about on this podcast a lot is just, like, making connections, and that's, like, how important that is, like, in sorry, there's a mosquito in here. Like, how important that is in, like, the music world. I mean, just in life in general, like, the more people you know, the more I'm really big on networking. I used to run a business where I, like, helped people find jobs and stuff like that. And, like, that was, and my background's in sales and everything. And that's all, like, just based on who you know and being able to build rapport with people quickly and, like, you know, which is, I'm just a naturally friendly person. So that's not really hard for me, but, you know, you guys, thanks, man. But you guys put yourself in a position, you went all the way out to Vegas, played this show, not even knowing that this dude that owns the label was watching you. You know what I mean? You, like, if you don't put yourself in those positions, then, you know, nothing happens. If you don't leave, you know, I'm always like, if bands want to try to get bigger, if they want to try to go somewhere, you have to leave your hometown, like, at least once in a while. You know what I mean? You got to meet new people and get out there. And, like, you know, it's not always easy, but yeah, I don't know. It's working for us. So it's working for you guys. So
that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, and who you connect with, you know, I mean, bands and life in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. I got to give a shout out to Crystal, who I know is, like, doesn't play in your band, but is, like, a part of your band. You know, and I don't even know the story. I know she, like, does your social media and merch and, like, helps you guys out and stuff. Like, has she just always been a friend of you guys, or?
What's your story?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just, we were hanging out and she's like, oh, I'm going to go and hang out with some bands or whatever. I was like, you should come. I think we went out to play in Memphis and, you know, we're a bunch of drinkers and she doesn't drink. So we're like, hey, you want to come drive our drunk asses around? She's like, yeah, this sounds fun. So she came out and like from there, she was like, when are we doing it again? You know, she wanted to just keep coming out. She's like, let me sell the merch. She just jumped right in.
That's awesome.
Doing shit.
She's kept us out of trouble so many times. Specifically the drinking thing. That's where you can get the most trouble, right? So you know, having a designated driver is very, very helpful. But also, I mean, she is the most kick-ass band manager, band mom, you know, looking after us. And she is stoked. She's like the de facto fourth member of the band, right? Because she does the merch. She does a lot of coordinating. And she makes sure we keep our shit together. So she gives us an earful if we get too drunk before a show. You know? So recommendations of like, we'll be like in Vegas, right? Where, you know, there's all sorts of distractions and you want to go crazy. And she's like, you guys can have two drinks.
She'll count our beers, yeah,
before the show. And by the way, the rule is every night before you go to bed, you have to drink this electrolyte shit.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Like,
but she keeps us together, which is super cool. You know, she keeps us from running off the rails.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
Dude, that's awesome. Definitely a band. Yeah, that's awesome. It's always great to have somebody like that along to just like help and somebody that you vibe with really well too, you know what I mean? That like just wants to help and be a part of it. That's super cool. So shout out Crystal. I thought her name was Alice for the longest time because it was that's her what it says on Instagram. But
I don't even know what her name is actually. One of those is her alias. I'm not sure which one is actually it.
Yeah. I don't even know the story behind that.
So what do you guys okay, so we got 4 minutes and 45 seconds left. Aside from playing with the Catastrophes, Wes Hoffman and Friends, and Marin's on October 5th at the Cobra, what else do you guys have coming up?
So we have a show up in Louisville. God, what is the date of that? We were just talking about that.
We were just talking about that. Was something that Crystal texted us. She was like, oh, what's going on with this show?
Oh, yeah. It seems like we've had just a run of shows dropping off recently, which is weird. Oh. But we're going to play October 18th with Scrooge Mandela. And then we have a little run that we're going to do down to Florida. We're going to hit Gainesville. We're going to go play Lucy's, not for Fest. Right after Fest, we're going to go. It's going to be early December. It'll be first or second week of December. We're going to cruise down. We need to line this up, but we have a number of friends in Atlanta, the dudes from the Seagulls and Burrow.
Yeah.
And Los Ojos Muertos. Those are all our buddies, and they're strong bands in the Atlanta area, right? So we're going to set something up on the way down. We'll cruise down like on Wednesday or something like that, and hit Atlanta. Los Ojos has like a jam room too where they're doing interviews and live music and stuff. We're going to go do a session there, which is going to be super cool. We're really looking forward to it. So stop there, which is a really good stopping point for us from Nashville, and then cruise our way down after that to Gainesville. We're going to hit Lucy's, which we love Gainesville.
I love Lucy's, yeah.
Town.
Have you guys played Lucy's yet before?
We have.
Okay,
We
played it once before too.
Yep. And then we're also going to play a really cool spot Ocala. Yep.
Mutiny.
Called Mutiny.
Okay. Mutiny's heard of that.
Ocala's cool and Mutiny's cool. It's actually a really nice, it's like one of those newer little towns that has sprung up in Florida that is, it's surprisingly clean and nice.
Yeah,
it feels almost a little bit affluent, you know, which we weren't expecting when we rolled into town. So it's a nice bar, but it's a total punk bar. So all punk themed.
It's
punk vibe.
It's not all dingy and dirty yet.
Right, right. Yeah.
But we've only been there once, so give us time.
Yeah. right. Yeah, dude, we have a venue here. I'm not going to say who it is, but it's a nicer venue that's kind of opened up like right before COVID. And I love it. I love it. We've played there a few times. It's bigger. And but like some of the punks don't like it because it's like it's too clean. It's
like that. We've played a couple times. Yeah,
I'm like,
it
you know, I'm like, this is a nice, I like playing nice venues. I mean, I like playing the dives too, but you know.
Well, I would assume that the nice place might have good sound, which is everything from the musician's perspective.
It does.
Having like good sound where you can hear what you're doing, you know, and not get lost in the bubble, you know, and all that, which is great.
That's great too. But I also really enjoy playing a dive and people are just going nuts the entire time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
A beer covered place.
Dude, when there's, it doesn't even, those places are awesome when there's like, there's maybe 20 people there, but every single person is just like going buck wild. I love that. You know what I mean? But no, I do like a nice venue because like, I like being able to hear myself and I don't do the in-ears thing. You know, I'm old school. Like I just go and, you know, we've played a lot of, I learned early on and I still have to remind myself, like, if I can't hear myself on stage, that doesn't mean that everybody out there can't hear me. Because I used to just blow out my voice on the second show of a tour or something like that. And when you're playing 6 days in a row, and the third day your voice is like gone, it sucks, man. Like, so yeah. A lot of those smaller places, I can't hear myself. And that's like, that just, you know, I just have to learn to not like go balls to the wall,
yeah,
like vocally. So, well, dudes, I'm about out of time. Thank you guys so much. This was dope as shit, man. I'm stoked to see you guys soon. And let me know when you want to come to St. Louis. I know we texted about it, but.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. I was going to bring that up. So, we'll work on that. We'll talk about that when you are here in town on October 5th at the Cobra in Nashville, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll see everybody there. So, all right, Nate, Toby, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good night.
Thanks, Wes. Cheers. Yeah,
cheers. Here, I got empty drink. See you guys.